Thursday, I had a scheduled visit to the eye doctor. I had to get a small surgery done. And so I tell that to you only for a couple reasons. One, if you talk to me, my left eye looks a little bit funky, and I don't want you to shake my hand and be like, am I going to get pink eye from this guy? So it's not that. Two, I don't want you to look at me and say, I think Jeremy got in a fight this weekend. And if he looks that bad, what must the other guy look like? I mean, my goodness, I know he's tough. And three, it's also to say, I don't have any depth. I can't really see out of this eye right now. And so I don't have any depth perception. And so I'm probably not going to move much from this place because nobody wins if I fall off the stage this evening. So I'd rather stay here and just kind of play it safe. And if I get up, it'll be like a little bit of an adventure. But those of you who know me well know that trying to stick to this chair is going to be incredibly difficult tonight. But I thought it was ironic Thursday as I was in the doctor's office and they're getting ready for this surgery. And I thought it was interesting that we were talking about prayer this weekend, because when you have a doctor that's coming to give you a shot between your orbital bone and your eyeball and the needle's about that big, you start to pray really fast. Like, dear God, don't let him hiccup right now. Dear God, don't let him sneeze right now. Not a good time to sneeze, like steady hands for him. You start to pray and you start to realize that sometimes you're in situations that are outside of your control. It happens to a lot of us. And my situation, my goodness, compared to situations of a lot of people that are in this room this evening, man, that's minor. It's predictable, it's routine as it gets. But we find ourselves at different times in our lives in situations where we know that we need something more, something bigger. We're in situations where we realize that we're utterly out of control. And there's something that we need, something that we need to have to be able to hold on to be able to steady us, to be able to give us hope in the midst of despair, to give us the security that somehow, even when it doesn't seem like it may be possible at all, that somehow it's going to be okay. And that's the power of prayer. It's the power of the gift that God gives us in prayer. It's a power of this gift that we have, this language that we have, this ability that we have to communicate with the God who created us. It's what James is talking about in the Bible reading that we heard just a short time ago, that this thing that James is writing, he's not writing something to give us a good theology about what we should believe. Nah, that's not what James is writing for. James is writing a letter. And he's writing a letter to actual people, early believers in Jesus Christ. And James's letter to these early believers in Christ, he's writing it to them to give them encouragement, to give them instruction, to remind them of the reality of life that comes because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And almost as a conclusion, as a sending note, James reminds them that as they go through life and as they encounter the world that sometimes isn't the way that it ought to be, that they aren't alone in it. And that there is a God who is incredibly for them. And there is a power that they have as individuals, but even more so that there's a power that they have as a church, as a group, as a body of people who believe in this God that comes through prayer. James says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray so that you'll be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. It's the promise that we are given more than just words on a page. But in a room this size, in a world that we know isn't the way that it should be, I know that there's a lot of us who think about prayer, talk about prayer. Say, yeah, but I don't know if that's the way it is for me. Because I've been praying. I've been praying, and the things that I've been praying for, the things that I've been wanting, the things that I've been needing, the things that I've been desperately calling out to God for, it just seems as if they go unanswered. And I believe one of the most difficult aspects of prayer, one of the biggest challenges that we face when we talk about prayer, is what do we do when we encounter the ones that seem as if they go unanswered? Or what do we do when we encounter the times in life where it seems as if God is silent or dormant or absent? It's interesting. In any of those spaces, and maybe it's been quite some time for you, there used to be a time where maybe you had faith and you had trust in God, that maybe God did actually answer prayer. But where there once was trust and there once was faith, now there's suspicion. And you start to think, maybe this isn't something that's welcome for you at all. I mean, sure, the idea of prayer, and sure, the notion of prayer, and sure, the reality of prayer for other people, it may be good for them, but as for my experiences, as for the way in which I understand the world to be, and the truth of what I've experienced in life and who God is, doesn't seem like he could be somebody that I could rely on at all or would answer me at all. And as we know, our perceptions so easily and so often, they become our realities. What we've experienced, the way in which life has happened, our bodies, our minds have a way of naming that to be truth for us. And in our relationship with God, and especially when we start to talk about prayer, I mean, I think we're starting our third week in our Alpha course this evening, and it's not too late to sign up. And halfway through the Alpha course, we have a retreat, and it's just a Friday night into a Saturday afternoon. You stay in your own homes. It's here at the church. And as a part of that retreat, we have the opportunity to have a question and answer, where participants in Alpha can ask any question that they want to have answered. They're all anonymous. You can write anything you want. And a couple of us will just sit here and we'll start to look at each and we'll just start to answer them the best that we can. And every session, I've been in my 15th session of Alpha this winter. And every Holy Spirit retreat, every session, multiple question after question after question has to do with the idea of prayer. And what's the secret? How does it work? Why does God not answer? What do we do? How do we explain that? There once was faith, there's now suspicion. Our perceptions become our reality. And sometimes in those realities, we begin to think, well, maybe God's an angry God. That somehow God would love to answer our prayers, and God would love to give us what we ask for, but we don't deserve it. And the fact that it's not happening, and the fact that it's not the reality of our current circumstance is because God's just mad. And God's getting his revenge. And in order to start experiencing the power of prayer, the answering of our prayers, we need to start being better people. Because God loves nothing more than to punish us. Or maybe it's not that God is angry. Maybe we start to understand God in this aspect of prayer as a God who's incredibly distant. God who I think about, one of my favorite passages in Scripture comes from Psalm chapter 8. It's written by a guy by the name of David, who is the greatest king the world's ever known, but David, who is incredibly human. And one night, David looks into the night sky, and he's overwhelmed with the enormity of who God is. And he's struck by it in a way that it literally puts him in his place. And he says, I look at the workmanship of your hands. I look at the glory of your creation. I look at the enormity of who you are, God, and I begin to think about, where do I fit in relation to that? Who am I that you would even think about me? Who am I that you would even know me? How can I, who is incredibly human and finite, be in relationship with a God who is infinite? How can a God who is eternal have any ability to relate to a human who's temporal? Are you honestly thinking and saying that God could hear all of our prayers? Seems ridiculous, doesn't it? Maybe way too many to count, to keep track of. If we have a God who stands outside of time, but the reason that God isn't able to answer us is because God isn't able really to know us. Or maybe it's just that God is apathetic, meaning God doesn't care. That when we think about God, we think about a God who created the whole thing, who spoke the earth into motion. But from that point until now, just stands and watches as it all plays out. And we may have concerns, and we may have hurts, and we may have pain, and we may have needs, and we may encounter suffering, but the fact that God would actually care about that doesn't seem to reconcile with the experience that we've had with God. But as we think about prayer, and as we start to uncover it and to start to take a deeper look, especially the way that we've begun this year 2016, we have this theme called Refresh, where we're looking at what does it mean to renew our relationship. Well, how do we experience refreshment? We started the first week in January, and we talk about that the first step of experiencing the refreshment that comes from God is to turn back to Him, to repent, to turn from God, and in His presence, we will be renewed. And then the next week, we talked about the power of baptism that Jonah just experienced a short time ago, that in the waters of baptism and in the promise that God speaks into our lives in baptism and through His word, that at that point, we experience a new start, a fresh start, a restart. And last week, we talked about the fact that all of that is guarded in the fact that God is love. And our call as followers of God is to love the way that God loved us. To love without condition. To love without prejudice. Tonight we talk about prayer. This incredible gift that sometimes we have an incredible way of making it way too complicated. It's interesting when we look at the life of Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus is Son of God, and we know that there is a divinity, there's a divine nature, Jesus, we know in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the God in flesh who comes to dwell among us. But even in his divinity, we know that Jesus is also 100% human being. And as Christians, our target that we seek to shoot at is to live like Jesus and to act like Jesus and to learn how to become a follower of his. I mean, Jesus himself in John 14 says, I am the way, I am the path that'll lead you to the life I've created you for. And when we look at Jesus, the center of his life revolved around prayer. That in his humanity, in his experience as a human being, there were times throughout his every single day that he needed to be in communion, he needed to be in connection with his Father who is in heaven. I mean, before Jesus makes incredibly big decisions, decisions that are going to alter his ministry, the work that he's going to do, he goes off to pray before he calls the 12 disciples. The 12 people who are literally going to be his students are going to help him carry out the mission that he's doing in the world. Before he calls those 12 people, he goes off by himself and prays to his Father. Before Jesus does some of the incredible miracles that he does, like when he feeds the multitudes, 10,000 people, if you count the women and the children, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Jesus is given the gifts that are in the community that surround him, and he prays. And he trusts, and he gives thanks to God. Jesus, before he goes to the cross, before he goes to the place where he knows that he's going to lose his life, the greatest struggle that he's ever going to encounter. Sometimes I think it's in that situation we think, oh, that must have been easy for Jesus because he knew what the end was going to be like. I mean, he had all of the answers to that quiz, so how could that be difficult at all? But when we read scripture, we see that Jesus goes into the garden by himself, having other people pray for him. He calls out to God, he says, Father, if it be at all possible to let this cup of suffering pass from before me, God, let it be so. Father, if there's any way that we can do this another way, let's do it that way. I don't want to have to do this. I know the cost that it's going to take. But not my will be done, but yours. It's this Jesus who in Matthew chapter 7 gives an encouragement on prayer and the power of it and the reality of it. And if we're going to be honest, the truth of it. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and that door will be open. And he goes on, he says, for anybody who asks receives. All who seek will find. And to all who knock, the door will be opened. I mean, there's no hesitancy about that at all. He doesn't say for those who do the right things. He says for anyone. For all who seek will find. All who ask will be given. All who knock, the door will be opened. And then he goes on. He says, how many of you fathers, good fathers, Fathers who love your children. How many of you good fathers, if your son came and asked you for something, your son who's not just your child who you love, but your son who's going to be the heir of everything that is yours. How many of you fathers, knowing the power that exists in your child, if your son came and asked you for bread, would give him a stone instead? Or if they asked you for fish, would give him a snake or a scorpion, something that would hurt them? Of course not. Of course, you would never do that. And then Jesus says, though you are evil, but other translations of scripture, and I love this, says, though you are veiled with humanity, though you aren't able to see the world the way that God sees the world, though you don't know all of the answers and the way things are going to end the way that God knows that they can, though you who are veiled in humanity know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Father who is in heaven, who is perfect, who is all-knowing, who is all-loving, who has nothing but goodness inside of him, how much more would your Father in heaven give good gifts to his children who ask of him? I mean, I think about my kids. I think about how many times my kids, they come and they ask me or they ask my wife for something. And man, there's nothing more than I would want to do but to give it to them. But there's times as a father, as a parent, who has a greater knowledge than they do, sometimes we have to say no. Sometimes we have to say, not yet. It's not the right time. You're not quite in the right situation for that. But every time, no matter how foolish I may think their request is, no, you're not going to stay up all night. That's a foolish request. But it still hurts me to say no. But why do I do it? Because I love them. Because I want nothing but good for them. Now, I don't know. I don't know why there are situations that come about in life where we face pain and struggle and dire circumstances, where awful things happen, where things just aren't right. I don't know the way in which God works in those situations, but I know that he works. I don't know sometimes in the way in which I pray to God and say, God, if only, God, please, God, I need you right now. And sometimes I don't hear the answer. But I know he's answering. Philippians chapter 4, one of the most powerful chapters in scripture. This guy by the name of Paul is writing to this church in Philippi. And Paul is talking about what it takes to endure all the circumstances and situations that we can find ourselves in life and how to do it in following Jesus. And Paul says, tell God what you need and thank him for everything that he's done. Don't hold back. So, okay, well, I get it, but I still, I don't know how to do it. I mean, I'd love to take the step to start praying, but I just don't know what that even looks like. How do I start? How do I close it? What are the words that I have to say? I need to make sure I get the form right. It's not the form. You don't need to use certain descriptive words for God. You don't need to impress God with your words. Now, I believe that there are people who have been given the gift of prayer, and each week following worship, we say there are prayer partners that are available that would love to pray for you. And these people have gone through the training, and they have the spiritual gift of prayer. And they're incredible. And they're the people, when I go through things in life, that I'll reach out to, and I'll say, could you be praying for this right now? Because I know that that's the way you're wired. But if you want to hear the most powerful and poignant prayers in this church, go to Hope Kids. Listen to your children. Because they tell it like they see it, don't they? They don't hold something back for fear of what somebody may think if they say what's on their heart. The reason that prayer is at the center of our relationship with God is because it's at the center of any relationship. Yes, there's a power in prayer, and God answers prayers today the way that he answered prayers in the time of Scripture. But it's the relationship that's the most important. Because it's in that relationship that you're reminded of the assurance that there is nothing that can separate you from God. The center of the relationship is the ability to be in communion and connection with the God who created you. To speak, to listen, to hear in all of the ways that God speaks. It's just a couple years ago, it was October of 2013. There's a couple who came to my office. Their names are Ted and Judy. They had called, they had set up an appointment because Ted was going through a health concern in his life, and they just asked if they could come in, and they just wanted to talk. They wanted to talk through some things. They had some really big decisions that they were going to have to make. Ted had been diagnosed with cancer, but here, as you watch this clip, what I don't want you to listen for is whether or not Ted was physically healed. But listen, what happened in their lives, the true healing that took place as they started to encounter God in a new way. Take a look.
I never understood the power of prayer before. About 4 years ago, I got diagnosed with cancer. I had two surgeries within 5 months of each other. It was a brutal treatment process. 30 days straight of infusions, and then three times a week for another 11 months. I found out that many people that are on this either quit the program or they commit suicide. So it's God obviously led me through the power of prayer. Helped me.
Sometimes that courage is hard to drum up on your own. So God's love gives it to you through prayer. It just opens you to receive what the Holy Spirit has to give you. I thought right at the beginning that I didn't have what it took. Well, I know I don't have what it takes, but God certainly does. And the Holy Spirit came through me to help me walk with him through that with greater courage, with greater peace. I used to think that prayer was something I did individually by myself, quietly. I learned the power of being able to have a two-way conversation with God every day, all day long, whenever I wanted.
For many years, I've been going through, in essence, going through the motions. Part of this is earnestly coming and asking, but listening. And then what I've learned is that I don't have to have special words. I don't have to have prayers memorized. I don't have to have scripture memorized. If I just ask, and then I listen, that he'll answer. He may not answer us the way we think it should be answered. He may not answer us in the time that we expect him to answer us, but he answers us, always. And in most cases, my experience is, he answers us in a much better way than what we anticipated. Pastor Jeremy gave me a lot of scripture to read, but the one that hit home most was Romans 8. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is just so true. So true. I know that there's no way I would have done this alone. Without Judy, without God, without everyone in this prayer room, I felt like I was getting supported and loved and refreshed every time I came in here. I'm taking the training to become part of the prayer ministry here, because I can't think of any better way to give thanks.
Start to read that encouragement from James just a little bit differently. James chapter 5, verse 13. I want you to hear this, not as a scripture reading, but as God's invitation from his heart to yours. Are any of you suffering hardships? Not rhetorically. Not because it's a good way to start a thought, but really, are any of you suffering any hardships? Not the gravity in which you think the world's going to look at them, but the gravity in which your heart experiences them. You should pray. You should share it with God. Are any of you sick? Have somebody pray for you. Are you sick in spirit? Are you sick physically? Are you sick in a place where relationally you just feel so broken? Have somebody pray for you. When you don't have the words, let somebody who does step in, intercede, the word is that scripture uses, on your behalf. Let them be the voice for you when you don't feel as if you have one. It's the gift of prayer. That's why we come and worship together. That's why we say we're better together. Because when we're down, somebody else can pick us up. That's why the gift of the Holy Spirit that God freely gives to all of us who believe in him is so important. Paul says in Romans 8, chapter verse 26, right before the scripture passage that Ted talked about, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't even know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that are too deep for words. You have a God who is love. He loves you so much that he stepped in. He didn't let the cup pass from before him. He let God's will be done so he could unleash the power of this Holy Spirit into our lives, into our community, that would allow us to receive the communication and the relationship that we encounter God in the power of prayer, that we can pray with and for one another to hear the goodness that God has, even when it seems dark.